Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everybody, I'm Zach.
And I'm Jesse.
You're watching Tesla Time News.
Episode 438.
On Now You Know. So Tesla posted last Thursday. Why?
Wait, why? What does this mean?
The new refresh Model Y is now available, get this, to order in the US, Europe, and Asia.
What? That's crazy. I thought it would be months before we were able to get one here. I mean, remember the Model 3 refresh? It took a while.
Yeah, the Model 3 came out in China in September of 23 and the US in January of 24.
So that was 4 months, and the Model Y is what, a week?
The launch series in the US starts at $59,900 before incentives, and Tesla says deliveries start in March. Now, obviously, the launch series is quite a bit pricier. If you look here, it's $8,500 more than even the performance all-wheel drive at $51,490. But you do get 43 more miles of range than the performance, and FSD is included.
Tesla is following the playbook that works really well for them. As they ramp production and volumes are small, charge more for these first units and keep your profit margins higher.
Yeah, then as volumes grow, remove the launch series option and start selling the less expensive versions. It's kind of perfect.
He's a genius, man.
Those of us who can wait get to see the refresh Model Y out and about and make up our minds if we really want one or not. Those who can't wait, like us with the Cybertruck, buy the Foundation or Launch Series for more money.
And the Model Y Launch Series includes the tow package, a $1,000 value.
Yeah, you also get the 19-inch cross-flow wheels included.
And premium color options like Ultra Red. But Tesla did release these 4K photos, so maybe the new blue is coming to other markets. I don't know. Comment below.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of think it looks so awesome that they've got to bring it here. Also, the fact that there's not the traditional blue, so it seems like maybe they're just ramping up their paint stations or something.
But that means that the people who ordered it first are going to be, oh, not fair.
Maybe in the next couple months before it arrives, they'll add that and you'll be able to update your order. Or maybe they won't offer it all. I don't know. Again, comment down below what you guys think. But it also appears that you can't choose anything but the 5-seat option at the moment as well. So what I think is important to remember as the legacy media covers the launch series Model Y is that the price of $59,990 is actually including that $8,000 price of FSD for life. And since most people, even many of those within the Tesla community, have no idea how valuable FSD is going to become, this may seem like an expensive extra, but it's actually not only going to become more and more valuable to the owner of the car for driving themselves around, but once the Tesla Robotaxi network is launched, FSD will be valuable as a potential source of income. And we're going to talk about that this week on Disruptive Investing.
And here's the first refresh Model Y produced in Giga Berlin, signed by Tesla employees. So that's a cool wrap.
Oh, I thought that was like scratches or something.
No, those, wow. Well, I mean, everyone, they didn't scratch their name. They signed it. That's kind of
beautiful.
A cool wrap, actually.
That's really
cool.
They
should 3D scan it.
I would get that as a wrap.
I don't know about that, guys.
Here's the first launch series Model Ys arriving at showrooms in China, thanks to Tesla Chan and Drive Green, Live Green for these videos. And Model Y is not only being built in Europe at Giga Berlin as we speak, but it's also going on tour. So Europeans can check it out in person. Here are the 29 dates and locations of where the launch series Model Y will be. And all of this was kept secret. Check out Tesla Manufacturing's new video.
We had to cover boots, hearts, to be able to make this happen.
To make the launch of MV36 the best ever we've seen yet at Tesla.
Yeah, and we're very happy with the result.
This is the first time that we are bringing a new vehicle in our factory.
And now that everyone is going to see it, I can finally be able to tell them what was going on, why was this crazy madness coming here on the weekends, coming here on the special times that maybe everyone was on holidays.
The new MV36 Model Y actually has grown up.
It's more than a facelift and looks like a new car altogether.
Very
tasty.
Like, was not expecting to like it as much as when I saw it in person.
And looks like a badass adult that's ready to kick everyone on the market.
So not only did they design a brand new Model Y, and I have to say the looks are starting to, I'm starting to like them a little bit more, but they kept it a secret the whole time.
I mean, Tesla has over 100,000 employees.
And there was practically no leaks.
And I mean, some of the factories are still under construction, so you also had construction workers there that could have taken photos. Yeah, they kept the secret. That's incredible. And I think that's because, as Elon has said, if you leak stuff like this, you are definitely going to pay the price.
Interesting fact that's been noticed now that all of the Tesla factories are making the new Model Y. Giga Texas, Giga Berlin, and Fremont factories build the Launch Series Model Y without any logo or badge on the front of the car, unlike the old Model Y.
Only new Model Ys built at Giga Shanghai have a front badge. Why'd they do that?
I think it's to be more like the Cybertruck. Cybertruck has no badging practically whatsoever. I think none at all, except for Foundation Series on just the Foundation Series ones. So people have no idea what it is. I have lots of Sentry footage of people walking around my Cybertruck and they don't know what it is. And I think it's actually a marketing strategy. And I think that that's what Tesla is trying to employ here.
But why aren't they doing it in China, in Asia?
Maybe there's a difference in culture. The brand is much more important, whereas here it's kind of a marketing strategy to be like, what is that? And then once people are intrigued, they're much more likely to like do some work to find out what it is. I don't know.
But you know what? I think we should get a closer look of the Launch Series Model Y, and I can't think of a better person to show us than our buddy Will from Tesla Jigsaw. Take it away, Will.
Hi, Zach and Jesse. Check me out. I've got exclusive access to Tesla's brand new Model Y. And just as I suspected, it's much nicer in real life than in the photos. Come and have a look. This light bar looks absolutely beautiful. Very Cybertrucky, very Cybercabby, isn't it? You notice there's no T on the front anymore. So it's a badgeless design in the front. Ooh, let me show you its jizzer. There's a little squirter that comes down there and it cleans this little front camera. That looks great though, doesn't it? Look at the profile of this. It's got a really deep cutout just here. It really emphasizes the spoiler. You've got black Tesla letters and the light shines back onto this bar here. But this is also, it's sort of textured. Feels really nice. And this is a sort of smoked out as well, black bar at the back. I'm not sure if it comes with it, but you can certainly get one of these. There we go. Oh, that's good. So it's got these cutout sections, look, so you can actually just sit it in. Keep it in there all the time. Useful. Good height under here, and then you can pop those seats down electronically. How lovely is that? What a massive space. I cannot wait to get this car and take it on a camping trip. There's just so much room. Look. Oh, lovely. They've brought back the indicator stalk, haven't they? It's only an indicator, does nothing else. The rest of the controls are still on the steering wheel, but I guess enough people moaned about it that they wanted to bring them back. Never mind. Oh, that's lovely. It's really squishy. All my seats are reclining. Of course it is. We've got reclining seats now in the back. Oh, that's very posh. How many cars come with reclining seats at the back? This is quite a new experience, isn't it? Oh, it's lovely. I can immediately tell that these side bolsters are a bit better in these seats as well. It's beautiful, clutter-free, minimalist perfection in front of me. On the old Model Y, you had this rounded off piece of glass, but now on the new one, they've squared it off and just made it a bit more sort of neat and tidy. And the boots, I've noticed as well. You've got these lines going down the back here now, instead of being curled off. That's taking the rear bumper here from being one single piece all the way around here, all the way around there, to now, if you get into an accident and you get some damage on this one panel, you can just replace that one bit. You don't have to replace the whole lot. How's that? Tesla are even thinking about crash damage and how to minimize cost to you. It's good, isn't it?
My suspicion is we're in for a more affordable Model 3 and Model Y in the not too distant future. May I refer you to this from Tesla's shareholder report? Plans for new vehicles, including more affordable models, remain on track for start of production in the first half of 2025.
I absolutely love it. I think it looks awesome. What do you guys think? Back to you in the studio.
Thanks, Will.
So is Tesla really going to make a more affordable Model Y and Model 3? Or was Tesla referring to the Cybercab? Because I think there's a lot of confusion. Because I remember Elon saying at one of the earnings calls that we covered that they weren't going to make anything cheaper except for the Cybercab. But then everyone's been saying, of course you're going to make a cheaper Model Y or 3. And it could be either one. I really have no idea.
But
comment down below.
How do you make a cheaper Model Y or Model 3?
Well, I've been giving this some thought. I mean, you could nerf the battery, right? Just have a lower range battery. But Elon's generally against that. You could nerf the motors, like wimpier motors. Those are, I'm looking at the most expensive parts, basically. Because it seems to me, even if you made like less luxurious interior and stuff like that, you're not going to save a lot of money. So it seems like you really got to go for the powertrain. And I just don't feel like Tesla wants to do that.
So, I mean, I remember when the Tesla Model 3 was first announced and I wanted it because I thought it was going to basically be a Toyota Corolla that was electric. And that's not what I got. I basically got a small Model S, which was amazing. And Tesla's maintained that brand pretty consistently over all of its new models. They've basically excited a lot of people because this is like a pretty nice car. It's different. It doesn't have the same sort of interior, but it's still a premium interior. Some people will debate me on that. But I think that as soon as you drop down to cloth seats and a couple of other things, your brand starts to look
hand
not
crank
so
windows.
Great. Yeah, it just starts to not really feel the same.
That's why I don't think they're actually going to do it that way. But I could be wrong.
I think it's Cybercab. I think that the problem is most people do not want to admit or can't admit or can't imagine that Cybercab is going to be a real thing and that people are going to be buying them in droves because it's going to be a money-making thing. There's not too many like physical objects that you can buy that make you money. There's Bitcoin mining and like a factory, but most people don't buy factories.
And a factory in Chicago that makes miniature models. Of factories.
Naturally. Solar panels.
That's another good one. But yeah, I mean, buying a Cybercab just isn't, people don't think that way.
Well, watch Disruptive Investing this week because we point out how much money you could make.
Thanks to Ground News for sponsoring this episode.
So topics like Elon Musk, Tesla, and autonomous vehicles can find themselves at the center of debates.
Depending on where you get your news, Elon's efforts to revolutionize transportation can be framed as visionary or reckless.
With Elon's appointment to Doge, headlines will only become more polarizing and sensational.
In our search for tools that can help us dig deeper into stories we cover here on Now You Know, we partnered with a platform that completely streamlined our research, Ground News.
Founded by a former NASA engineer, their app and website uses a data-driven approach to news analysis by taking every perspective covering a story and breaking down each source's political bias, credibility, and any financial interests behind the headline.
This ensures access to diverse and maybe even opposing viewpoints so you can understand the stories shaping our world much better.
Ground News is how we found the full coverage on Trump's transition team wanting to scrap NHTSA's crash reporting that potentially affects Tesla.
With one click, we get a summary of this report based on sources Ground News found reporting on it.
And with just a quick look, we can see that hardly any conservative news outlets are covering the story, a striking reminder of why it's so important to diversify where we get our news.
One of the features we love most about Ground News is how easy it makes it to identify the reliability of information at a glance. Their factuality ratings let you see which sources are highly factual, the gold standard of journalism, and which ones lean more towards sensationalism.
It's simple to analyze how the different framings of the same story can influence a reader's perception of an issue. If you're here watching Now You Know, you're already someone who loves digging deeper into stories about Elon Musk, Tesla, and the latest breakthroughs in technology.
That's why we think you'll love Ground News. It's the perfect way to track important developments and even see what you might be missing.
And for a limited time, you can get the same plan that we use every day for nearly half the price.
Just go to ground.news/NYK or scan this QR code to save 40% on their unlimited access Vantage plan.
Or you can gift it to someone you know and have more informed discussions on your favorite topics.
Ground News helps us stay curious, think critically, and see the bigger picture. And we think you'll find them just as valuable.
Thanks to Ground News for sponsoring this episode. So Tesla has announced that fairly big price increases are coming to Canada in, it looks like, 4 days?
Yep, February 1st.
So here are the price changes. As you can see, $4,000 to $9,000, depending on the trim on the Model 3, $4,000 on all the trims of Model Y, $4,000 increase on all the trims in S and X. So if you're in Canada and you're thinking of buying a Tesla, I would rush to that computer right now. So Merritt posted, officers from 8 police departments tested Tesla police vehicles built by Upfit Tesla, a division of Unplugged Tesla. They loved them. Check this out. What you're seeing here is Model S versus Ford Explorer.
She's going around. Oh, shit. The difference is absolutely staggering. I don't want to go back to this now. It's an incredible feeling after driving the Tesla modified package that you guys have the last couple of laps and getting back into it. This just feels so much more sluggish. The cornering just feels so much more just kind of out of place. So the amount of times you can just move with so much more precision in the Tesla, the acceleration, the braking, the handling capability of it is just honestly far superior. Just the absolute dynamic and fun ability you have in that car. It's a whole nother world. And I definitely don't want to go in there through that stuff.
And Elon, of course, said, cool.
Cool.
Yeah, that is cool. Finally, we're getting to see more and more police officers experiencing not just the thrill of the ride. I mean, it is thrilling, but the cornering, the acceleration, things that you need in a police car, because in a police car, time is of the essence, right? And also catching people is important. So if they're driving away in a sporty car and you're driving behind them in a Ford Explorer, maybe you're not going to catch them.
And on the complete flip side to that, when you're just sitting there waiting for something to happen, the car isn't sitting there idling.
Exactly. I mean, I'm kind of an addict to watching like cops videos and stuff. I don't know why. I've always have been. And one of the things that you see just repeated over and over again is that police cars generally can't catch other cars. They just have to kind of follow behind them, set up a perimeter, put down a spike strip. But that all takes multiple resources, lots of time. And usually by the time you do that, the bad guy can be gone. In a Tesla, you're going to catch him. So Elon reposted Tesla's post that the new Model 3 wins the Edmunds top rated award in electric car category. And Tesla said, thanks, Edmunds.
So the Model 3 beat out the Hyundai Ioniq 6 and the BMW i5, both vehicles that earned Edmunds' highly recommended label.
Edmunds wrote, a major facelift in 2024 brought improvements everywhere, including more range, a better ride quality, sharper handling, and a nicer interior with, finally, professional build quality. Even better, none of this came with a price hike. The Model 3 is still one of the most affordable EVs out there.
Kind of annoying that Tesla has
backhanded to, compliment
well, that, and also that Tesla has to refresh the car before they're going to start to win awards again.
Right.
And it makes sense to a certain degree because like readership would start to go down if you're like, and the Model 3 wins again this year. Right. But
it's all a game.
You have to keep this in mind that it hasn't left that spot in reality. It's just that it's like, well, we can't make the Model 3 win every year.
Joe Rogan would argue, I think, because he just took delivery of a new Tesla Model S Plaid Apex customized by Unplugged Performance.
Joe's new ride has a custom painted carbon fiber wide body, white bamboo leather, combined with black Alcantara accents and racing ceramic brake system.
I mean, this is great advertising, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's going to continue to talk about his experiences on all of his shows with his buddies and be like, guess what I just did in my Tesla Plaid?
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever watched the Joe Rogan podcast. You don't have to go watch it. But what I'm going to say is at some point, the conversation turns to cars and Joe's going to be like, yo, so, I mean, it's insane. He's going to gloat about it because he has a really nice car. And now all of his millions and millions and millions of fans are also going to hear that it's a really great car. And they're going to go, oh, the Model S, oh, the whole package is like $150,000 because with all those, you know, third party aftermarket upgrades, it will be. But then they can also look and be like a Model 3, which isn't that much worse off, is highly affordable.
So next week on Wednesday, January 29th at 4:30 p.m. Central, Tesla will be holding their 2024 Q4 earnings call. We will be reporting on it the next day on In Depth, so make sure you subscribe to the Now You Know channel so you don't miss that button down below.
A big part of what makes the Tesla earnings calls so informative is that Elon and the team are answering questions.
And even though there are some analysts' questions, which generally tend to be dumb and repetitive, there are also the questions from retail investors like you and me, gathered from Say.com.
And there is still time for you to ask your own questions and upvote questions by going to Say and registering your Tesla shares.
So here are the top 10 Say.com questions as of today. This may have changed. I love most of these. Is Optimus now mostly design locked for 2025 production?
Is unsupervised FSD still planned to be released in Texas and California this year? What hurdles still exist to make this happen?
When will Tesla start selling Optimus and the price?
Elon has said publicly that long-term shareholders of Tesla will have the ability to invest in his other companies. Could you provide some clarity or color as to what this looks like? Brokerage firms use first in, first out, so anyone who trades won't have the true length of time as investor.
Are there any discussions with other car companies about licensing FSD?
Is it expected that Tesla will need to upgrade Hardware 3 vehicles, and if so, what is the timeline and expected impact to Tesla's CapEx?
What is the status on mass production of the Tesla Semi? How do you project it will affect revenue at scale?
Is there a new affordable Tesla model coming soon?
Ooh, so people want to know about that. What technical breakthroughs will define version 14 of FSD, given that version 13 is photon to control?
Is the Roadster still launching this year?
And has Tesla given up on ramping their solar roof product? All really good questions. Mm-hmm. I think they should just shut down the analyst questions because these are really good. And if Elon would just focus on these, I think we would have really good answers.
Well, just take more, say, questions, because it's not like they get worse from there. There's still a whole bunch of great questions.
And it's because us, you know, informed retail investors go and upvote them and ask them.
Right.
All right, it's time for the Cybertruck Roundup.
Yeehaw! The Cybertruck Roundup.
So Tesla's Cybertruck vehicle program manager Siddhant Aswathi posted last Thursday, Cybertruck off-road armor and rocker accessory launch running with delays, but likely end of March. Finishing delivering wheel covers to customers, we have secured supply, but distribution is the bottleneck, now 32% complete, and air suspension controls and features improvements.
And so we're still waiting for our wheel covers and for the light bar. I can't wait to see what the off-road armor and rocker accessories look like and how much they cost. I think it's really neat that they're doing some more air suspension controls. It's one of the nicest part of the trucks, I think, in my opinion. I love being able to adjust the ride height while I'm driving. I love it that when I pull in and I park, that it every single time goes down to entry height.
Unlike the Rivian.
I like that when I have the truck parked, it doesn't do what the Rivian does, which is just slowly droop the front end. So many nice parts to do with that. My only question is, are they going to start doing any more stuff with the rear wheel steering?
Mm.
The rear wheel steering is great, but like crab walk mode would be sick. Maybe like just more manual rear wheel steering control. I know that it's probably a little hairy with NHTSA and stuff like that, but it would be really cool to see like special modes where it's like, I confirm that I am, you know, if I get in trouble, it's all on me. And then you'd be able to like, you know, back up with just that wheel system. It would be really neat.
Yeah, especially for trailering. Remember last week we showed you the photos of Cybertrucks entering the Cybertunnel from Giga Texas factory side. Now some updated photos of the Cybertunnel exit across the highway, of course, where the vehicles come out and get ready for transport. Looking more and more like a Cybertruck.
Do other car companies do anything remotely this cool?
Build tunnels? No.
Well, no. I mean, tunnels aside, I mean, do they make any kind of like cool thing that things emerge from?
Oh, I'm sure for like CES and stuff, they spend a lot of money.
No, but I mean, like at their factories, like, do they do anything like that?
Well, don't you remember? Wasn't it BMW that had a sausage?
The sausages. I understand the sausages, but that's a little more practical. Then, you know,
I think the answer is no.
Okay.
But comment down below if you know of something. So there's been this video going around in anti-Tesla circles, supposedly showing that the Cybertruck can't climb this very steep hill. But as Wes Morrill, Tesla's lead Cybertruck engineer, pointed out, off-road driving often comes down to driver skill and confidence, even when the vehicle is capable. Here is the successful attempt that was cropped out of the viral video that shows the Cybertruck failing to make it to the top. Oh, yeah, Cybertruck made it to the top. Oh, and it also climbed back down. So what I've generally found is that people who post how terrible Teslas are have absolutely no idea. They've never driven one and are either trolls or idiots or both.
You machine that. Up, down, idiot.
And for me, it's a great way to find the accounts to just mute or block because their opinions are meaningless to me. So we've been driving our Cybertruck around New England this winter without any problems.
And it's gotten quite chilly, hitting 0 degrees Fahrenheit and even -8 the other night, not to mention even lower with wind chill.
But not as cold as this, Jesse. Trent Sizemore posted, 2 weeks guiding in Yellowstone with clients and the only real complaint is the rear window may be a bit too small. I think it's fine though. The back end of the bed gets snow inside, but I think I can fix that with some weather stripping.
I haven't gotten any snow in my bed because I just keep the tonneau cover closed.
I think he might be just getting more windy snow than we are. I don't know. So if he's looking out the rear window,
then doesn't that mean the tonneau cover's open?
Which means snow gets in.
Because I never look out the rear window.
Maybe they're opening and closing it sometimes and that's how the snow gets in. Because I will point out, you're right. We've had a bunch of snows now and nothing gets in. Rain, snow does not get in. So,
but when I do go to open the tonneau cover, I have to either shovel it off, which is fair, because if you had a bed, it would be full of snow. Or you'd have to like wait for it to melt, or you just drive really fast, and sometimes all the snow sloughs off.
He went on to say, average low temperature was -2 degrees Fahrenheit, and average high was 21. Lowest temp observed was -35. Average range would be 200 to 300 miles, depending on the severity of the temperature. Average was 270 miles with 3 passengers. I had wheel covers off the first week and on the second week with much colder weather.
I love how Trent says, note that the bisons are visualized as humans.
update that software. And then Trent posted his daily data. So thank you for doing that. Check this out. I'll just kind of summarize it for you. Average temperature looks to be about 10 degrees Fahrenheit with an average watt hours per mile of 454, which I think is really good for having to keep the heat on probably the whole time in all those snowy conditions. But the speed limit in the park is 45 miles an hour. And most of the time, it sounds like they were going slower other than a bit of 70 mile an hour highway driving. And I saved the best part for last. This is Trent's charge stats.
Trent saved $472 over what he would have spent on gas.
Yep. 1,320 kilowatt hours of electricity, just $14 where he is versus what he would have spent, $486 on gas, according to Tesla.
And they don't talk about that much on legacy media, do they?
Yeah. On all the sites where people are dumping on Tesla, they never say, but you know, you would save a lot of money. They never, ever say that.
You're going to run out of range.
I mean, one of the latest ones I saw is that, like, in the fires in California, when the Tesla power walls burn, there's like toxic chemicals. And it's like, yeah, there's lots of toxic chemicals in your house.
When you burn your house down.
Also, you're hopefully not in the house when it burns down. Yeah. CarWile posted this, Cybertruck versus Rolls-Royce versus AMG drag race.
And we're going to show you that on Patreon bonus stories this week.
So join us to see who wins.
Why don't you guess down below?
And thank you to Cybertruck Owners Club. This is where you can find so much useful information about Cybertruck. That's where we go. And they help support the show. So thank you so much. So this week on Now Let's Review, we've got an e-bike review specially for our European friends.
Europe has very specific rules about what an e-bike can be. And we reviewed the Varun C26 e-bike, which follows those rules.
And it's one of the lowest priced e-bikes that we've heard of for the European market.
So if you're in the market for an e-bike and want to see if the Varun C26 makes the cut, check out Now Let's Review today.
Over on our super fun Now We Adventure channel, as our first episode of season two, Jesse and I bring you Trails of Tanks, Uncovering Secrets in the Massachusetts Wilderness.
Such a cool adventure. I mean, e-bikes, nature, history, World War II era munition bunkers, federal property that has been kept secret for 80 years, and tanks.
So much adventure goodness. If you haven't checked out our Now We Adventure YouTube channel yet, we hope you will.
What's so cool about our adventures is that our awesome editor Brian makes this map that follows where we are at all times, so that if you want to try out our adventures, you can.
Yeah, if you see something you like, we tell you about parking and mass transit so that you can get to these places pretty easily. And then when you get there, even if you don't want to e-bike it, like we have, you can walk, stroll, hike, bring your dog, scooter, just get out. An adventure so good to raise your spirits. So join us over there. To set the stage for this next scene, our confused car buyer has walked into the confused.com UK car comparison services offices.
Hello, how can I help you today at confused.com, the UK car insurance comparison service?
I'm looking to buy a new car and I wanted to make sure I buy the safest one.
Ah, well, you've come to the right place. We are, after all, the UK's car insurance comparison service. That's what we do.
Great, great. So, can you tell me, what's the safest car brand?
Let me pull up our latest study findings. These just came in after we studied 2,317 vehicles released since 2014. This chart is going to show you the safest car manufacturers in the world.
Great!
Here we go.
Okay, let's see here. Great, I'll buy a Volvo.
Hang on.
What? It says the Volvo is ranked number one, so I'll be buying a Volvo.
Well, hang on. Volvo did get 100%, but so did Subaru.
Oh, okay. I'll look at Subaru too. Good day.
Hang on.
What?
Well, Tesla also scored 100% in safety.
But on the chart, it's ranked number three.
Well, that's just because Subaru and Volvo have more models that receive perfect safety ratings.
But all of Tesla's models received the highest safety ratings, right?
That's correct.
Then I'm confused. Why would your chart rank Tesla third? If all the Tesla models have the highest safety scores, shouldn't they be tied for first? Is that why you're called confused.com? And scene.
Wait, so I'm confused.
Well, what the chart doesn't show is that Teslas are the safest cars in the world, period. They score above 5 stars in most NHTSA and insurance safety test categories. But what's also interesting in confused.com study data is this. EVs in general are way safer than ICE cars. Only 69% of ICE vehicles have 5-star safety ratings, whereas 91.5% of EV models, all EV models, have 5 stars. And that is why Ridian Jones, motoring expert at Confused.com, noted EVs generally perform well in crash tests. Lacking a heavy front engine allows for more spacious crumple zones and better weight distribution, which can help prevent flipping.
So why does the chart not show this properly?
Well,
My guess is that there's a little bias going on. And so while they haven't technically lied, essentially when you're a customer and you go to confused.com and you're looking for number one, you would just walk away thinking Volvo is number one. You wouldn't go down to number three. And it's not number three.
Well, it's just weird that you would have them tied for first of all, right? Because, I mean, as you pointed out, it's like, okay, more models with the highest safety. That's great. I mean, and I guess if you're like, I want the most choice, you'd like pick
yes,
number
but this,
one.
But
that's
this
the
would
only rationale that makes sense.
But this would imply that if you go to Tesla, there might be some models that don't score high, and they
right.
all score
they
high.
All
and
score.
That's
I guess the other thing that upsets me though is why do we have crash safety tests where you can score a perfect score?
Why not?
Because if so many cars score a perfect score, then you stop losing any comparability between them.
Right.
And then your standard is just set at whatever that standard is set at.
Well, and here's the problem. They take so long before they change their tests that the manufacturers just study for the test and they just make their cars work well in a specific test, which may not be like real world driving.
And I'm not saying that perfect score cars aren't safe. They are, but like they're not impenetrable. They don't have force fields. They don't teleport you into another dimension to prevent you from the accident damaging you. They're just better than most cars. If we can always keep getting safer and safer, why don't we do that? Because, I mean, okay, maybe there's going to be a car company that's like, we have the safest cars in the whole world.
That would be Tesla.
And they're basically tanks. And it's like, they cost $3 million, but you will never die in a car accident.
Well, here's the funny thing to me. Growing up, Volvos were the safest cars. Everyone mm-hmm. knew that, right? And people still think that today. Mm. They just think, well, of course. They don't even know that Volvo is a Chinese company now. So...
Okay.
Access big savings every day. All in the Kroger app. Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is under this mystery tent next to Tesla superchargers at Giga Texas? Drone pilot Joe Tegmeyer got these shots, and it has got Tesla Nation stirred up.
Okay, so it's at a charger. Could it be wireless inductive charging for Cybercab? Because, I mean, there has been a Cybercab driving around Giga Texas on and off for the past few weeks.
Yeah, comment down below what you think it could be. I think you're right, but...
Maybe it's the Model 2. Finally, it's just under the tent. That's where it is, everybody. Don't worry. It's a $20,000 Tesla with a steering wheel. Don't worry.
I think it is the Model 2, which is the Cybercab, which has no steering wheel, but whatever.
But I want one with a steering wheel for some reason.
And speaking of mysteries, what do you think this Tesla building is?
Isn't that Gigafactory?
It's near Giga Nevada.
Okay. Oh, it's the semi-truck factory.
Yes, it's the new Tesla semi-truck factory. And thanks to Zangler on X, please follow Zangler for great Giga Nevada and semi-posts. Construction crews just completed the exterior walls and the factory is now enclosed. Although, there still is the stamping section, which is being built as we speak. See these giant forms? They need that because when you're stamping, you need a lot of force. Tesla is planning to start pilot production later this year, which will be ramping up to 150 trucks a day or 50,000 semi per year, and there's some conjecture here. Hey, yeah, conjecture time. The RoboVan might be built here too, because Elon said something else is going to be built here, and what better than another big vehicle?
Wow. I mean, this is exciting. We have a first day order for the semi, and so I can't wait. I don't know if we're going to get it or if it's going to...
Yeah, we're going to get it.
I think they're going to go down the list, and they're going to go, let's see who ordered. Walmart, Target, Zach and Jesse. Haven't heard of that store. Anheuser-Busch.
Hey, we're on the list and we put down a deposit, so... So NHTSA, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, has issued a recall on January 16th for the 2025 GM Chevy Equinox all-wheel drive EV due to adaptive cruise control may not activate brakes due to incorrect brake module software.
So GM says that it will mail 2,890 Equinox EV owners a letter on March 3rd telling them that they can bring their Equinoxes into Chevy dealerships to have the software calibration in Equinox EV's brake system control module updated free of charge.
Oh, free of charge. That's nice. Hi, I was driving along on the highway in my Chevy Equinox the other day using adaptive cruise control, and my car just rammed into the car in front of me.
Ah, yes, I see. You're probably here to get your brake system control module calibration software updated for free.
Yes, that would be lovely. Also, I'll need a new front bumper. Can that be free too?
Oh, I'm afraid not. Just the free brake software update. But you can have some free coffee in the waiting room while you wait.
Excuse me. March 3rd hasn't happened yet.
March 3rd is 2 months away.
So you don't know anything about this problem because you haven't been notified yet.
You haven't gotten the letter yet.
So you put it into adaptive cruise control and you kind of chill out. And then your car just rams into the car in front of you because your brakes don't work.
Excuse me?
How come NHTSA doesn't say send this out immediately and not by mail, but like every means possible? Email, text, phone.
I know that less than 3,000 Chevy Equinoxes have this problem, mainly because that's all the Chevy Equinoxes that there are in the world. But if Tesla had this problem, that would be a month-long story in the in the legacy media, and they would not be able to stop talking about it.
No.
It would just be, oh my God, Tesla's rammed into the back of cars! Autopilot's dangerous! What are we gonna do? That's all you would hear.
Yep.
For weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks.
But
especially if Tesla's solution was to mail out letters in 2 months to have you bring the car into the dealership and for the free upgrade. Tesla fixes so many things over the air that day.
GM can't fix it over the air.
That's insane.
Yes.
Oh, the brake module. We didn't.
We got to plug that in.
I didn't realize that I didn't put it in the software to be able to be updated. We only were going to update the infotainment system. So that way the latest satellite radio could have the pictures updated on the thing with the new 90s. It's Avril Lavigne.
In Doge news, you know, Department of Government Efficiency, Vivek Ramaswamy, who is the co-chair of Doge with Elon, has stepped down from the commission to focus on a gubernatorial run in Ohio.
Steve Davis, president of The Boring Company, has now joined the commission.
And Doge has been officially integrated into the federal government as part of the executive office of the president. So each federal department now has at least 4 Doge representatives, including a team lead, an engineer, an HR specialist, and an attorney to implement the president's Doge agenda. And don't worry, you're like, that's a lot of employees to be hiring. They'll all be fired on June 4th, 2026, when Doge ends. But Sir Doge of the Coin said the U.S. debt clock now includes a Doge clock, which tracks the savings achieved through Doge.
And Elon said, really?
And here it is. And as of the recording of this show, we've saved $23 billion so far.
And Elon posted, not sure how they're figuring this out, but it's fairly accurate. I mean, look at that. They're flying. So when we first started looking at this, it was $15 billion saved.
And then like a day later, it's $23 billion.
I am excited to go check what it is tomorrow.
I know. This is one of those pages I never like checking because the debt just kept getting worse and worse.
You're like, another million, another million, another million.
All right, it's time for SpaceX news. So President Trump announced at his inauguration,
and we will pursue our manifest destiny into the stars, launching American astronauts to plant the stars and stripes on the planet Mars.
We're going to Mars.
Yeah, I mean,
we're going to Mars.
The last time a president talked about anything this fun in space was back in the 60s with President Kennedy.
It only took 60 years.
SpaceX posted Falcon lands for the 400th time. Elon said the Falcon has landed 400 times. Now, you made a graph?
Yeah, I couldn't help myself. I talked with Grok. We came up with a table and I turned it into a graph. So I'm not sure if it was 100% accurate. Does look correct to me. You can see.
What's the blue?
So blue is landings, red is launches. So they don't always land them, but that's what we got.
Right. Especially if you're launching further up for like U.S. Space Force.
Yes. The geosynchronous, usually you'd throw away the booster.
SpaceX posted deployment of 27 Starlink satellites confirmed. VP of Starlink Engineering Michael Nichols said step function in sats per launch enabled by mass downs and upgrades to the V2 satellites.
And Elon said Starlink continues to improve.
SpaceX's VP of launch, Kiko Donchev, said high five to the entire West Coast Falcon team for shattering some records. Now, we will translate this for you. The record set was 4E pad turn, 2 days, 22 hours, 21 minutes, 10 seconds, new overall drone ship record, and OCIS. SLY, 2 days, 22 hours, 21 minutes, 10 seconds. Next best is ASOG at 3 days, 12 hours.
So I get it. That's a little cryptic. 4E refers to Vandenberg pad 4E. Pad turn equals turnaround time. The new record is set by SpaceX at 4E and by the drone ship. Of course, I Still Love You, which is the name of the drone ship, even though it sounds like it's a phrase. That took 2 days, 22 hours, 21 minutes, and 10 seconds.
That's an earthquake. Do you feel that? That was an earthquake. That whole shake that we just had
was about a 4.5.
That was a four. That's it.
Yeah. I don't know if you were confused about this like I was, but I thought that Starlink's direct-to-cell service had already gone live.
It seems that the early testing had gone live, but now, according to this post from Elon last Friday, Starlink direct from satellite to cell phone internet connection starts beta test in 3 days.
Okay, so as of the recording today, Starlink has started the actual beta testing of direct-to-cell?
Yes. All T-Mobile customers with compatible devices and a post-paid T-Mobile voice plan are eligible to participate in the T-Mobile Starlink beta program as of yesterday.
Anyway, check with T-Mobile to see if your cell phone is compatible, because a lot of them are.
So it might be time to upgrade, just so that way you can be in the middle of the ocean and make a phone call.
Could save your life. Speaking of the middle of the ocean, how about take your Starlink on your next cruise? Starlink said, Starlink is easy to set up, connect in minutes with a clear view of the sky, cruise line deck chair not included.
At first I thought, because so many cruise lines have Starlinks.
Right. This one didn't. So Joe Montalto said, yes, this is my current situation. And so he had to take a cruise line deck chair to make it work.
Why are you on the internet if you're on a cruise?
Couldn't
you just go to a hotel room?
Many people don't know this, but SpaceX has a second launch tower at Starbase, and it has been getting its Mechazilla chopsticks attached this week. Thanks to Mary at Boca Chica Gal for the awesome photos. Follow her on X for all things SpaceX. So that's one of the chopsticks.
Wow. Those are big arms.
And Starships 36, 37, and 38 are now under various stages of construction at Starbase as well. Thank you to Carlos, the Starbase surfer, for these awesome photos.
Wow. That is so cool. That's a factory that makes spaceships,
dude. Yeah. And we're in our 30s now. This next story should probably be filed under... Seriously? On January 2nd, the Center for Minor Planets at the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics registered an object they thought was an asteroid. That was, by the way, closer than the moon's orbit at just 240,000 kilometers away from Earth. They named it 2018 CN41, only it wasn't technically an asteroid.
What is it?
The Harvard astronomers realized the next day that they had made a mistake and retracted the register when they discovered its true identity, which is Elon's Tesla Roadster that was launched into space on February 6, 2018 as part of Falcon Heavy's first test launch.
And Elon says, my car is orbiting Earth and Mars.
Now I'm a little confused, because if it's orbiting Earth and Mars, how is it that close to Earth?
That's a bit of a misnomer. You can't be orbiting both bodies. You could, but it'd be very, very complicated. It's orbiting the sun around Earth and Mars.
Oh, so sometimes it comes close to us and then it shoots back up.
Yes.
Okay. All right, it's time for Into the Future, sponsored by our friends at Henson Shaving.
This is the best razor on Earth. You can pick one up at HensonShaving.com. And if you use our code Now You Know, you get 100 blades for free. Make sure they're in your cart when you check out.
So over on our Disruptive Investing channel this week, we're releasing a video called Teslas as a Source of Income. Check that out if you want our take on what we think you could earn by putting your Tesla on the Tesla Robotaxi network when it launches, hopefully this year.
For that to happen, Full Self-Driving Supervised obviously has to get to Full Self-Driving Unsupervised, so good that it's safer than a human driver. We've been sharing drives in our Cybertruck and Model 3 and Model Y with you, the latest, of course, being version 13.2.
But what everyone wants to know is, how good will it get and when is the next update? Well, Phil Dwan is a senior staff software engineer at Tesla in their autopilot program for the past 4 years. And he just responded to James Wang last Friday, who said this. It's true Tesla is way ahead in geographical coverage, but 99% FSD on 100% of roads is of limited value. I would be shocked and delighted if it managed to get to Waymo level safety without new hardware changes. I'm long Tesla.
And Phil Dwan said, prepare to be shocked.
So many people seem to think that Waymo is the leader in autonomous driving. You hear it in the legacy media all the time.
I think that a big reason for this is because Waymo is actually operating a taxi service, so customers can actually see for themselves what Waymos can do, whereas Tesla doesn't operate a taxi service yet.
Those of us who have FSD 13.2 can experience Tesla's autonomy, but it's not completely hands-off yet like Waymo's are. So ipso facto, Waymo gets judged to be the leader.
And maybe that's fair, but Waymo's strategy is very different than Tesla's. Waymo different.
Waymo only operates on pre-mapped roads and at set speed limits. As we have reported, Homar's catalog demonstrated that it took him 3 times longer to get to San Francisco Airport in a Waymo than a Tesla. 43 minutes versus 15.
What Phil Dwan appears to be saying here in this post is that Tesla is about to get to Waymo safety levels. So hands-free and with the AI 4 hardware?
This would back up what Elon's been saying, that Tesla should be releasing their own robotaxi network later this year in Texas and or California. But yeah, some big questions here. Does he mean with hardware 4 or does he mean with hardware 3? Because there's a lot of people out there, us included, that have cars with hardware 3 as well. And we need to know whether that's going to make it to FSD or will Tesla have to update those cars, which Elon said he would do, but it's not going to be easy or cheap for them to do. So yeah, let us know down below what your thoughts are and when do you think this is going to happen. All right, it's time for Going Green.
So according to the senior VP at AT&T, Hardman Williams, AT&T will soon be buying Rivian RCVs or Rivian commercial vans for the AT&T fleet.
AT&T had committed back in December of 23 to buy Rivian's van, and now that Amazon has taken delivery of 20,000 of them, it appears that Rivian can spare some for AT&T.
Interesting to note that we've learned through SEC filings that Rivian's all-electric van starts at $83,000.
That's not bad, actually. I'm guessing that's for the lower range. I think it's called the EDV500 variant. It has a range of 201 miles, but it's locked to 150 software-wise. Not sure why they do that. Maybe to make the battery last longer.
I think it's that way when the delivery driver completely runs out of battery.
I'm all out of juice.
They go, okay, here's
we'll
your...
turn on 50 more miles.
But you have to come straight home. Stop going to Dairy Queen.
I didn't go to Dairy Queen. And then there's the EDV700, which is a little bit more range and its price probably higher. But still, I'm surprised. That's not a bad price for such a... You're getting a lot of vehicle.
I was expecting like 110.
I was expecting like 200. We want to thank Climatize for sponsoring the show. So Climatize is a platform you can go to and invest your money in solar heat pumps, EV charging, and you can earn as much as 10%. We just did it ourselves on a heat pump venture, and it's really cool. I think you guys should check it out. Go to climatize.earth/NYK, and here's the really cool part. Once you're done signing up for it, you can get $25 free to invest any way you'd like.
Thanks to Climatize for sponsoring the show. Visit climatize.earth/NYK or download the app and use code NYK023 for that $25 free credit once you complete the onboarding process.
All right, it's time for our video contributor stories. And remember, we need your stories. Send them to us at hello@nowyouknowchannel.com. What do we got this week?
Let's check it out.
Hello, Zach and Jesse.
We're here at the grand opening of the brand new Tesla Service Center and Showroom in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
And Elon gave me a coloring book. Well, not Elon.
The highly anticipated Tesla Showroom and Service Center is located on Elam Road. Not Elon Road. Just Elam Road, near Hamilton Place Mall, which already has a 12-stall supercharger facility. There's a 26,000-square-foot building featuring a showroom, a service center, clean bathrooms, and a waiting room with coffee and snacks. There's about 4 acres of parking lot here. This Chattanooga location is part of the 22-acre Village at Waterside development that features apartments, restaurants, and shopping. There are chargers all along the back of the building. My wife fell in love with the Tesla X and its double-jointed gullwing doors. I love the idea of what looks like a minivan with an electric equivalent of over 1,000 horsepower. How cool is that? Don't tell my wife it has that much power. I give this place a 9 out of 10. Now you know. This has been Victor Sane from Sane Auto. Back to you, Zach and Jesse.
Thank you, Victor.
Wow. Okay, so first of all, yeah, don't tell your wife that it has 1,000 horsepower.
Yeah.
But also really good on Tesla to put in all that parking. I normally don't like parking lots, but at these locations, I'm glad to see that Tesla's learning because a lot of the ones here in New England are tiny and there's just people driving around all the time looking for parking. So really smart.
Also, they're Falcon wing doors. They're not gull wings.
Yeah. Gull wings is just...
Come on.
All right. It's time for our Patreon bonus stories. We got a lot of fun stories for you this week, but you can only see them if you support us for at least $1 a month over on patreon.com/nowyouknow. So go head on over there, check it out, and you're going to get to see stuff that you don't get to see on the main show. All right. We're back from our Patreon bonus stories, but we had a poll for our patrons. How much money would you have to earn annually from putting your Tesla on the RoboTaxi network to make you do it? And what did we find out?
Kind of hovering between either $10,000 or $20,000 per year.
We're going to talk about this week on Disruptive Investing because I'm going to give you a number that you could make by putting your Tesla on it. And when I told it to Jesse, he almost fell off his seat.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll have to find out. All right, it's time for Elon's X's of the Week. Elon said the future is so exciting.
And we're going to take Doge to Mars. I mean, can you imagine how awesome it will be to have American astronauts plant the flag on another planet for the first time? How inspiring would that be?
Kimball said, this was the best speech of your life, bro. Well done. This is what success feels like.
Elon said, thanks. Elon said, frankly, they need better dirty tricks. The everyone is Hitler attack is so tired.
Mostly peaceful meme says, open and shut case. We got him.
Tesla owner Silicon Valley said, Waltz is Nazi too. Screwed.
And Elon laughed.
Homer's catalog says, my God, not her too. Godsad says, conversation when getting my haircut, hairdresser. Did you see Elon's Nazi salute? My wife, God knows Elon, he's not a Nazi. Me, yes, I confirm, he's not a Nazi.
And Elon said, oh man.
Mike Lee said, if Elon's gesture makes him Hitler, then AOCs must be interpreted in the same way.
And Elon said, yep.
Benjamin Netanyahu said, Elon is being falsely smeared. Elon is a great friend of Israel. He visited Israel after the October 7th massacre in which Hamas terrorists committed the worst atrocity against the Jewish people since the Holocaust.
And he has since repeatedly come back. And Elon said, thank you.
I Like Tesla said, had to cancel another friend who thinks Elon is a Nazi. I'm literally losing all my friends outside the Tesla community.
Elon said, it's problematic when people believe the legacy media. The legacy media is pure propaganda. You are the media now.
Elon went on to say, the radical leftists are really upset that they had to take time out of their busy day praising Hamas to call me a Nazi. If I see one more damn Nazi salute in my feed, I'm going to lose my mind. This algorithm sucks. It was astonishing how insanely hard legacy media tried to cancel me for saying, my heart goes out to you, and moving my hand from my heart to the audience. In the end, this deception will just be another nail in the coffin of legacy media. Manny said, Elon will live stream his next gaming session from the White House. Let that sink in.
And Elon said, okay.
Libs of TikTok said, Trump signed an executive order directing all federal employees to return to full-time in-person work.
Elon says, not even one government building was found to be even half occupied. That is crazy. Elon said, this is about fairness. It's not fair that most people have to come to work to build products or provide services while federal government employees get to stay home. And some government buildings, including in D.C., have been taken over by squatters while taxpayers continue to pay for the upkeep.
Then this headline, Elon Musk's Doge hit with three lawsuits just minutes after Trump becomes president.
And Elon said, can someone start a lawsuit counter? How long till we hit triple digits?
Space Sudor said, introducing ElonSuits.com. Keep track of all the lawsuits against one of the most influential men alive.
And Elon said, oh, man.
And so we're at 20 lawsuits so far.
And so a lot of these are ones that have already happened.
Right.
Okay.
So someone reposted this picture of Elon at a costume party, and Elon said, can't believe it's been so long.
Sir George of the Coin said, what is the context here? I've always been curious.
Costume party set in the 17th, 18th century France.
Okay.
And Wokeness says the ATF was just caught rebranding their chief diversity officer to chief officer to circumvent President Trump's order. Time to clean house, all of it.
Elon said, should the ATF exist? Why not just merge it with DEA?
New York Times posted this, how labeling cartels terrorists could hurt the U.S. economy.
And Elon says, New York Times is pure propaganda.
And I found out this week that the New York Times is 18% owned by a Mexican billionaire who is accused of being a cartel leader. So maybe that's why they wrote the article.
Who knows? Who's to say?
Who's to say? Elon said, cut the millions of strings of negative regulations to free the giant that is America. And how many flies does it take to screw in a light bulb? Two. But how'd they get in there? Elon then pinned this post, Nemo me impune lacessit by Sulla, and the Latin phrase meaning no one attacks me with impunity. And then TVD posted, Elon Musk has reached rank 3 on the Path of Exile 2 hardcore leaderboard. And then that got community noted, because while the account has reached rank number 3, this is not Elon Musk's accomplishment. He has admitted to paying somebody else to play the account for him. The account was actively playing the game while Elon was attending Trump's inauguration.
And Elon said, fatalism for the win.
So I just want to be clear to everybody. Elon's never claimed that he was playing alone. Everyone who gets to these higher ranks on these games have all admitted that they have to have other players play them like 24/7 to get all of the stuff,
loot.
You cannot get that high if you don't. And so everyone who's on like Twitch and stuff like that has to do this. So everyone in that world knows that. It's just people like me who don't game all the time that think, oh my God, Elon's playing 24/7. If he was, he wouldn't be running his companies. All right, it's time for community mail time.
So our buddy Rav went to CES and he spotted this. That is a Tesla semi-charging cable. So look at the end there.
It's big.
Yeah, big one.
Rav also spotted an Aptera at CES.
Nice. Rav also saw the Hyundai Mobis booth.
What the heck was that?
That was, I believe it's called a colossal waste of money.
Okay.
Yeah.
This isn't cheap. Like, to get a table that big is at least like $150,000.
Oh, to get a table
yeah.
at CES, to get a giant booth like this is probably close to $1 million.
Wow.
Or more.
Rav spotted this EV charger, which looks very cool, but also very expensive. He's worried about people smashing that screen, and I don't blame him.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool looking.
This reminds me of Volta.
But at least Volta was like, at least it was for advertising. This is like, what do we need to display? Because a Tesla supercharger has zero screens.
Well, also, you can stand up close to that screen and get the same effect that you would get by looking at your phone. So I don't really get it.
It's cool, though.
It's cool.
CES.
Rav also spotted the Oshkosh mail truck.
Why is that at CES? It's the consumer electronics show.
You got to spend some money, right? That's fun. Spend money.
But I mean,
it's the post office's money.
But consumers are going to buy a post office.
Well, we're the consumers who the truck's going to pull up to. We have to know what. Oh, it's a mail truck. Oh, thank you for telling me. I thought it was from space, but also a cartoon.
Our buddy Jim was at CES and he spotted this.
Hey, Zach and Jesse. Guess who I found at CES 2025? So what'd you guys like to say?
We're Ari and Aubrey from EV Jet. And if you don't have this product, you need it for your own safety. You cannot drive away in an EV without this product. And if you're concerned for your safety, you need it.
I agree.
We're excited for a lot of the things coming out of CES. We have a lot of awesome partners. And there's a lot more coming from EV Jet and our teams.
All right, great. And now you know.
Wait, that's EVject.
That's EVject. And I mean, they described it pretty well, but yeah, user.
Why didn't they have a big screen?
Exactly. Because all you really need to show is that this thing actually works.
Yeah. And we've tested it and it's awesome. So yeah, go to EVject.com, use our code and save some money. You know, I hope you never need it, but if you ever do, it's really good to know you have it.
Douglas spotted this Cybertruck in Toronto in an underground parking lot.
Jeff spotted this Ford EV delivery van in Modesto, California.
Christopher asks why Tesla doesn't have the X app in the cars with the theater app.
Because we're not VPs of special operations,
exactly.
Christopher. Chris got these shots ahead of the Flight 7 launch.
So that thing is no longer there anymore. Well, actually, the booster came back. Jesse shared a shot of his driveway.
Wait, you bought another Cybertruck?
Nope, that's not my driveway.
Okay.
It's one of our viewers. It looks like there's room for one more.
Okay. Yeah. Fill it up.
You think we need one more? All right, we'll get one more.
Randy heard that there was going to be a robo-taxi at the Scottsdale Mall, so he rushed down and got these shots.
He said that the trunk looks like it takes up 2/3 to 1/2 the length of the whole vehicle.
Oh, good to know.
I wonder what kind of things you need a big trunk for.
John spotted the Cybertruck towing a trailer at the Crossville Bucky's Charger. He said the extra attention and business he got from the advertising on his truck allowed him to pay it off in 6 months. Whoa. Okay.
That's a smart businessman right
Let's
there.
Let's go wrap our truck. Now you know.
Yeah. And finally, our editor Thomas spotted this the other day.
Oh, cool. That's a Model X astronaut transportation vehicle.
Except he spotted this in Salzburg, Austria.
Oh, that's right. Thomas is in Austria. Wait, so they're going to launch rockets from Austria now?
I think this is a private vehicle. They bought a white Model X and they thought, you know, why not own a piece of history, or at least a replica. So this is a replica of a crew transportation vehicle.
I love it. Hey, remember, share your stories with us, your photos, your videos at hello@nowyouknowchannel.com. It's our community makes the show the best, and thank you for doing it. Before we go to superchargers in the world, I wanted to go to this beautiful supercharger. This is a farmer supercharging his tractor in the Netherlands.
Is he really supercharging his tractor?
Well, I mean, he built a little box there. I don't know what
just to get him the best spot at the wow, that's really cool.
Yeah.
And we're going from a very flat place to a very mountainous one. Brian took these pictures in the Sierra Nevadas. You can see Mount Whitney. That is the tallest peak in the lower 48 states.
I thought this was a Tesla photo. That's beautiful.
Isn't that great?
Wow, that's awesome. All right, it's time for supercharger reviews. Let's go out there in the world and see what people have found.
Hey, Zach and Jesse. This is Joel out in Lubbock, Texas. I have my Ford Mach-E, and I know y'all aren't crazy about Ford, but I want to show y'all. I'm actually using my Tesla adapter I just got to charge on the Tesla supercharger. I am unfortunately blocking one, but it's really early, so hopefully no one needs that one. This is a CEFCO gas station. It's a traditional gas station right off the highway, a diesel station. It's actually looks like a Model 3, towing a camper. But as far as using a Ford on this, it has literally just plug and play. Plugged it in and it started up, no worries. It's going fast. And this Sethco gas station, I've been in a lot and it has great bathrooms, usually a great selection of food and drink. So as far as the rating, I mean, there's not a lot of options for food and get kind of pricey. There's no restaurants, just this place, but it's open 24/7. So clean bathrooms, food options 24/7. I would say like a solid 7 out of 10. Thank you so much.
Hey, Zach. Hey, Jesse. Brad here from sunny St. Petersburg in the beautiful Tampa Bay, Florida, with a supercharger review for you guys. Behind me is a brand new 20-stall Tesla supercharger station. To my left is a Lowe's hardware store. And if you keep turning, there is a Wawa gas station. If you don't know about Wawa, they're amazing. They got a deli, they got coffee, they got milkshakes. Hashtag gotta have a Wawa, hashtag Hoey Fest. But I think what I'm most excited about with this supercharger's location is not only is it brand new, but it features the Magic Dock, which is exciting for me because I drive an F-150 Lightning. So obviously it's super convenient for me to be able to charge my pickup while I wait for Ford to send me my NACS adapter. As far as I know, this is the only supercharger location that features the Magic Dock, super easy to use, and it's so new, it literally just showed up in the app yesterday. So I'm trying it out now for the very first time, really easy to use. I'm so thrilled. So as you can see, it's really busy. There's a ton of Teslas here. I don't really have any frame of reference, but I think I would give it a 9 out of 10. Simply because it's in a Lowe's parking lot, which seems super convenient for, you know, contractors who are driving new electric trucks, a Cybertruck, electric vans. But it does seem like an obvious oversight that there's no trailer pulled through stalls, but I think that's minor. I'm excited about it. I wanted to share the news and now you know. Thanks, guys.
Hi, Zach and Jesse. Happy Eclipse Day 2024. This is Scott reporting in from the new Tesla supercharger installation in Bangor, Maine. It's off Interstate 95, exit 185. 8 version 3 superchargers. Back behind them is a Hannaford supermarket down over that hill with lots of food to buy and bathrooms. It's a good location, not a lot that you can walk to nearby. And we were here last night and none of the lights were working, so it was very dark. I'm gonna rate this one a 4 out of 10 until they get those lights working. Now you know.
Hey everybody, so I'm over here at Ashburn Supercharger. As you can see, I'm over here at Harris Teeter. Did not know that they had a fuel station, gas station. First time for me. Check this out here. If you're wanting to see the inside of a supercharger, here you go. Decided to come around here, saw that plastic piece on the ground, and was surprised and was greeted with this. So here we go, just a little tour of what the supercharger looks like inside, exposed like that. The fans down below, and then on the other side here, everything looked pretty much standard. Nothing bad with it, except maybe a little crack on the plastic here, as you can see. And then what's weird to me is like the charger handle. To me, I always am used to like pulling it from the left hand side. This one's on the opposite end of it, so it's kind of odd. But anyways, as you can see, it's a 8 250 kilowatt max, and the layout's kind of weird. I mean, you have two here and then the rest on the other side. I would have put all the chargers like lined up all right here, but you know, that's just me. I'm not an engineer. Maybe there was something behind that, I don't know. But I just came out back from a brewery, was pretty low on charge. State of charge was around 20. Actually, I got here around 14%. So just charging up for 15 minutes or so, and then I'm on my way out of here. It's going to be that quick of a charge up, get up to 55%, be able to make it home with no problems, and be able to run the AC. It's a quick and easy in and out location like most Tesla superchargers, and there's really not much around here. I mean, all you see is really just a Bank of America and Harris Teeter. Obviously, you can go out there and get some food, get something to drink, and that sort of thing. Nothing really special to write home about. The only thing that was interesting is obviously being able to see the inside of a supercharger. I've never seen that before in person. So great to look at that. So I'll actually be reaching out to Tesla and just being like, hey, you know, FYI, may need to come out here and do a little maintenance on that, put that cover back on. I don't know how it got damaged. It's really like in a nice area where nobody really can get to it unless somebody just vandalized it. And, you know, who knows what happened. But anyways, that's kind of odd. But thanks for watching, and I'll talk to y'all soon.
Thank you so much for doing Supercharger reviews. If you want to check them out, you can head over to nowyouknowchannel.com. We have a map with all the superchargers on it, and you can upload your reviews there. You can check out other people's reviews. They're all on a map, so you can decide how you're going to do a road trip if you want to.
All right, what do we got for new superchargers in the world?
We have an expansion from 10 to 20 stalls, version 3s and 4s, in Munchberg Nord, Germany.
The 8-stall version 4 in Pasa Antalya, Turkey.
The 3-stall in Fuyang, China.
The 3-stall in Zhaoshan, China.
The 3-stall in Chengdu, China.
The 3-stall in Kuzhou, China.
Number 57 in Massachusetts is the 8-stall version 4 in Worcester.
No, that's Worcester.
Worcester. There's now officially more superchargers in Massachusetts than there is in the Netherlands.
And I don't want to hear people saying it's Worcester. Yes, that's if you live in the UK or something. We call it Worcester. You got the 8-stall version 3 in Carson, California.
We have the 8-stall version 4 in Denizli, Turkey.
Number 14 in Turkey is the 12-stall version 4 in Umranye, Istanbul.
The 3-stall in Shanghai.
The 2-stall version 2 in Chengde, China. And, you know, a lot of these, I think, are going online because of Chinese New Year.
Number 24 in the UAE is the 4-stall in Dubai at Mall of the Emirates.
Number 147 in Norway is the 4-stall version 2 in Eiklandsosen, Norway. I bet people in Norway are like, don't go to that one.
Number 53 in the Netherlands is the 12-stall version 4 in Nieuwerkerk and Den Ischel, Netherlands.
Number 67 in Illinois is the 20-stall version 4 in Naperville.
The 12-stall version 4 in El Cajon, California.
The 3-stall in Sichuan, China.
The 3-stall in Binzhou, China.
And number 2193 in China, the 6-stall version 3 in Shanghai.
Number 528 in California is the 20-stall version 3 in Los Altos.
And number 49 in Oregon, number 2540 in the USA, number 7024 in the world is the 12-stall version 4 in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. And thank you to all these people going by here. These are our patrons. These are people who support us at $5 or more a month. And if you'd like to join them and get your name here, please do go to patreon.com/nowyouknow. And there you will find our Patreon bonus stories, which are incredible, along with our Investor Club bonus stories. And then this week, don't forget all these other videos you can see us in. Now We Adventure, Now Let's Review, and Disruptive Investing. So you'll get your fill of Zach and Jesse.
Got some work to do. So thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you guys next week.
Now you know.
Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.